Good morning. Welcome, everybody. Radio Top Tropicals. We're on the air every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. We're here with Meet Your Gardener, where you have the chance to ask our experts any questions about gardening, tropical plants, tropical fruits. A little bit of homework here. You can join us on our Mixlr site, which is mixlr.com/toptropicals. You can send in questions directly from that site, and we will get to them today. Or you can also call our studio, which is 239-887-3323. Again, that's 239-887-3323. Our helpful staff will take your questions and make sure our studio personnel get it, and we'll answer it right on the air. Also, don't forget, join us on our newsletter. You can sign up at toptropicals.com. Find out about what's happening here every week, as well as all our newsletter customers get priority access to new plants, new offerings, as well as special discounts. Okay, that being said, this is week four of Radio Top Tropicals. We've had some very interesting topics, some great questions in the past. Today, we will be exploring the plant and planet connection. So to introduce our topic, please welcome our international state certified crop advisor, Robert Reefer, who will make our presentation today, and then we'll open up our airwaves to your questions on everything tropical. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. The title of our program today is It Came from Planet X. Many amateur and professional astronomers also have a love of plants, and we're going to explore in detail this plant-planet connection. Back in the 1700s, an Englishman by the name of Sir William Herschel discovered many of the objects in the night sky. He did it systematically with his sister Caroline. The Herschels discovered a very strange planet, which he named Georgium Sidon, after King George. And incidentally, that was the King George that caused us so much hassle around the American Revolution times. Oh, you remember him. Okay, I thought you were old. Okay. Well, at any rate, Georgium Sidon later on was labeled the planet Uranus, which at star parties were very careful to say, we are now going to observe the planet Uranus. And of course, astronomers do it with mirrors. At any rate, William Herschel's son, John Herschel, ended up going down to South Africa to survey the southern hemisphere skies. He was also quite the naturalist and described many plants growing down there. The Transvaal region of South Africa is also particularly rich in a wide variety of species, many of which we here at Top Tropicals carry. At any rate, in describing some of these plants, there is even a genus of orchids named after him, called Herscheliana. We even today, in contemporary times, have both astronomers and orchid growers, as well as other types of nurserymen, that have found this wonderful love for the natural beauty in the universe, both here on Earth and in the heavens. One gentleman, his name is Jeff Corder, has actually drawn over 11,000 objects in the night sky. And no other person has either seen visually or drawn this many objects. And he opened up quite the orchid nursery, which he had going for many a year. So, how can you enjoy both the plants and the planets at the same time? Quite easily. You can do this at night. Well, why at night? Everything is dark. Well, you can see the sky. In addition, it's a good idea for you gardeners out there to be out there at night, because this is when some of your plant pests show up, such as your armadillos. And you can also notice many of the pests, such as caterpillars and other critters, tend to crawl around at night. So you'll be able to see what might be chewing on your precious plants. The connection between the plants and planets, there are some beautiful websites out. One is called the Winter Star Party, where you get to see the stars traversing over wonderful coconut trees down in the picturesque Florida Keys. So it's absolutely delightful to be in beautiful gardens at night, enjoying the night sky. In addition, we have many plants that put off their aroma only at night, as well as night blooming plants. One of these plants is called Cestrum nocturnum, or nighttime jasmine. We carry it here at Top Tropicals, and the aroma is absolutely both sensuous and seductive. So go out into your garden at night, sniff around, and have a look at the night sky and enjoy. Right now, in the early evening, the bright star which you see in the western sky is Venus, and it will soon be in the morning sky because it's going through inferior conjunction. That means where it's going to swing around the sun in front of us. And absolutely beautiful, picturesque planet. Up above it and very dim is Mars. And then coming up about 2 o'clock in the morning and at its highest at about 2:30 in the morning is the planet Jupiter. In addition, Saturn starts to rise at about 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning. So it's absolutely beautiful. The summer Milky Way is also rising and is fairly well up by dawn. And this is where the center of the galaxy is located, in the constellation Sagittarius. So there are many sights and things to see and enjoy. And the nice part is, most of it is free. We don't charge you for the stars. We do, however, have to charge a nominal fee for the plants. So let's see, are there any questions today?
Well, lots of questions, and it's a super interesting topic. Let me ask you, a lot of us believe that there's a connection between the planets and the tides and many of the events on our planet. Do you believe that there's a connection between the planets and some plants, specifically herbs? I've been reading a lot about the plant connection with herbs. What do you know about that?
Well, when I was growing the palm trees, I noticed that the palms and grasses, all monocots, tend to grow greater between the third quarter moon and the first quarter moon. And the plants seem to want a maximum amount of darkness to grow. This deals with the Krebs cycle and photosynthesis, to where the plants can turn the carbon dioxide through photosynthesis, water, into starches and sugars. So it's essential that your plants get a little bit of darkness. In fact, in the cities, we've noticed, for example, in Miami, there is a tree known as the Poinciana, Dahlonix regia, which the side of the tree that may be facing a sodium vapor street light, those are those orange lights that give everybody the migraines, the side facing the street light will not bloom. The side facing away from the street light does bloom.
So, Robert, I should stop looking at the sodium streetlights at night and I can start blooming?
Yes, absolutely. And no matter what you do, be sure not to look at the sun so often and try and limit it because you might fry your eyes out a bit.
All right, so our first question has come in. You talked a little bit about being outside at night, enjoying the views, enjoying your garden, and you mentioned an armadillo. Now, many of us across the country may not be familiar with that. In Florida, we certainly are. The first question we have is, are armadillos dangerous? Not for me, but for my vegetable garden.
Armadillos can be both dangerous for your vegetable garden and yourself as well. Armadillos happen to carry an ancient disease called leprosy. In addition, armadillos will dig for worms and roots and can totally tear up your garden.
So is there any natural solution we might have for the armadillos?
Yes, it's known as naturally pulling out the shotgun. The other thing you can do, if you want to be humane about it and you're squeamish, you can use live traps as well. But it is very hard to trap an armadillo.
Okay, so our job is to get the armadillos out of our vegetable garden. Here comes another question regarding the night. Is it true that the last cold or freezing night in Florida always falls on a full moon? I think that kind of coincides with what you mentioned about the different plants and the lighting and how they react to that. Is it true that the last cold, freezing night in Florida always falls on a full moon night?
Perhaps not always, but most of the time, yes. And once again, we're back into astronomy. And during a full moon, you have a direct sun, earth, and moon alignment with the earth caught in the middle. This pulls down the cold winter air from the northern polar cap for us in the United States.
Great. And I also want to just mention, we got a great comment from one of our listeners, Walt. Walt got his shipment of cinnamon and the 3-year Haas grafted avocado. Walt says it was a great way it was shipped and the avocado has lots of blooms. Thanks. And he loves our webcast. Thanks, you, Walt. We appreciate your listening. We're glad you got your avocado as promised and as expected. Another question for you, Robert. Call-in question. The lady of the night is very fragrant at night. Are all night fragrant flowers white? What a great question.
Many of them are for this reason. The pollinators are many times moths, which need to see the white at night, so they're able to find the flower as well as through the aroma. Quite literally, the aromas they're finding are measured in the parts per billion.
Wow. So on that same subject, maybe you can give me some other examples of some fragrant flowers that our customers can plant.
Okay, there's an absolutely beautiful cactus known as Selenus cereus grandiflorus. I used to collect this particular night-blooming cactus for a medicinal herb collector that would ship it to Europe because this was actually saving people's lives. Apparently, digitalis, which is also retrieved from an herb, the foxglove, doesn't work for everybody. And they use Selenus cereus grandiflorus for heart palpitations. It had the opposite effect on me, however, because whenever I saw the cactus, my heart started beating wildly as I thought about the thousands of dollars I would get for collecting the plant.
All right, now listen, a couple questions have come in. We're talking a little bit about some natural solutions for pesticides. Two I can give you right now, Robert. Is there a pesticide that is safe to use on edibles? And while you're on that topic, another question has come in. Is there anything that I can use to get rid of caterpillars in my garden?
Okay, first dealing with the safe and effective pesticides that you can use on your vegetables. You can use dish soap. I happen to prefer Dawn dishwashing liquid. You can also use vegetable oil. Even olive oil, any of the oils, which basically smother and suffocate the insects because they breathe through their skin. And then in addition, as far as caterpillars are concerned, there is a bacteria known as Bacillus thuringiensis, abbreviated BT. You can find this at any of your big box stores, and it is absolutely harmless in the gut of a human, but absolutely destroys the gut of the caterpillars, which are basically larvae of moths.
Excellent. Another question that we just got. We were talking about some fragrant plants for the outside for our gardens, but here's a great question, and we get this weekly, I think. Is there any flowering plant that I can grow indoors that smells good at night? I do a lot of cooking and want to get rid of smells in the kitchen.
You know, even Thomas Edison, who resided here in Fort Myers, did not like the smell of cooked food in the household. His kitchen, and if you come down here to Fort Myers, please visit the Ford and Edison estates. And his kitchen was actually outside of the home. As far as fragrant flowers indoors are concerned, perhaps a gardenia, some of our small dwarf gardenias would work. Jasmines may also be grown indoors. In addition, many flowers are called Lady of the Night. In fact, many ladies are called Ladies of the Night, but that's a different subject. The Lady of the Night orchid, Brassavola nodosa, as well as Brassavola digbyana and glauca, are absolutely wonderful orchids that can be purchased relatively inexpensively. And I'll even try and see if we can't get a hold of some. If y'all want to write to Top Tropicals, I will do my best to find you the finest scented Brassavolas around.
So, Robert, your ladies of the night you keep in the kitchen. Okay, that's interesting. But we're going to move on. Next question. My gardenia leaves keep turning yellow and fall off. What, if anything, is the problem, and what can I do?
Okay, this can be caused by many things. Number one, you could have nematodes. Also, I need to know, is it grown in a pot? Is it grown in the ground? Every expert, and especially we even have an extension agent who will remain nameless here in Lee County, said never ever grow your gardenia on the west side of the house. Therefore, I'm not going to tell my gardenia that I'm growing on the west side of the house for the past 25 years. It's about 6 feet tall and blooms with hundreds of flowers every year that it shouldn't be growing there.
West side gardenias. Okay, another question that came in. This is a good question, and you can explain this process to me because I don't think I understand it as well. We just bought a star fruit from Top Tropicals. Thank you. Do I need two plants to get fruit?
No, fortunately, the star fruit are hermaphroditic, containing both male and female parts. So it can comply with the federal rules of going into either bathroom.
Gender-neutral plants. I like that. Our government will be happy. Okay, next question. Let me just get our screen back here. With the plant-planet connection and herbs, before we get onto that, let me get this one question because it's been here for a while and I want to make sure you get this. Regarding fragrant plants, that seems to be the topic of today. What other fragrant orchids, I know you mentioned orchids specifically, but what other fragrant orchids do you recommend, Robert?
Okay, if you're fortunate enough to live in the southeastern United States, there is a beautiful green native orchid known as Habenaria odontopetala. Odonto meaning toothed, petala petals, so the toothed petal Habenaria. Only at night does it have one of the most sweet, great, wonderful, seductive aromas that you would expect. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. Why the perfume industry is not copying some of these wonderful aromas, I don't know. To me, every time I smell perfume, it's a little bit more acrid than diesel fuel. And perhaps if they started looking at some of these chemical blends with the orchids, they could get along better. In fact, in some places, perfume-free meetings are held in public places where people are not even allowed to wear perfume because it people are highly allergic to it. Basically, your base for the driving of most perfumes is with aromatic hydrocarbons. An example of an aromatic hydrocarbon, but not used in the perfume industry, is a substance we know as gasoline.
Diesel fuel number 5, my very favorite perfume. I love that. What are you wearing? Okay, next question. Here's a great one. If
it has an octane of
87 octane perfume. Question from our customer. If I order a gardenia, on the topic of gardenias, if I order a gardenia from Top Tropicals online, about how soon will I can I expect it to bloom?
Well, while we may not ship the gardenia in bloom to you, you could expect blooms in a matter of 1 to 2 weeks, depending on which gardenia that we select for you. Many of our gardenias are blooming in the pots right now. I would also suggest ask for one of our gardenia standards. That is, when you see the word standard, it's not a low bush. It's actually a trunk and then blossoms out. All of these gardenias are grafted as well, so you can expect to get blossoms very soon and for many years.
Great. Thank you, Robert. Next question. You just got some Medinilla plants. I know I didn't do that pronunciation right. How do you grow them in the ground? Why are they called orchids? They are not true orchids, are they? I don't know, Robert.
Okay, let me put on my glasses here. And where are you reading that? Medinilla plants. Okay. Basically, Medinilla. Okay, now we have vanilla, but Medinilla are not true orchids at all, but they are absolutely gorgeous. And as far as growing them, I would actually have them in hanging baskets or pots. Be sure not to let them dry out. They are also highly tropical, so you do want to keep them out of the cold. In addition, grow the Medinillas in semi-shade because you don't want to burn them.
And with all this information, I also want to remind our listeners that our webcasts are saved. You can find them on our website. You can listen at your convenience to the past editions to get all the specific information. And also check for our newsletters, as we frequently put a lot of the material that we discuss on our webcast into our newsletter. Next question coming in here. I got a couple of Piper Nigrums coming next week. They will be in 3-gallon pots. By any way, will they be in flour or peppers? And how can I assure a constant supply of peppers? Thanks for that question, Walt. Robert?
What a wonderful and timely question. We actually had a grower of botanical medicinal herbs ask us why he was not getting any fruit on his Piper Nigrum. You actually have to hand pollinate sometimes the flowers and the racemes. Now this is very, very simple. The flowers are pendant, and you literally take your fingers and rub them from one pendant to the other and hand pollinate it. So it's a It's a hand job.
Da-dum-dump. Next question regarding the medinillas. And I know I pronounced that wrong again. Can I plant those in the ground and in shade?
Yes, you can. As I said, I prefer to have them in pots, but you can plant them in the shade, and they will give you just fantastic blooms. Also, they are somewhat heavy feeders. However, when I apply fertilizer, rather than a heavy solution every couple of weeks or a month, I use a light solution, ballpark about 1/5 to 1/10 of the label directions, and I use it every time I water, generally every other day. The idea is the salts will not hurt the flowers or the leaves.
Okay, before we wrap up, Robert, I know, has a story to finish the broadcast with. I want to remind everybody we have some specials this week on pineapples, both edible and ornamental. Check our website or also our YouTube channel for our newest video on the pineapple plant. We have many varieties coming. If you don't see what you want, be sure to add them to our wish list. You can add your desired wish list right from our catalog, right from the online ordering process. We'll get those. So to finish up here, Robert, we have a special story you want to tell us.
Yes, I remember many years ago, probably on the order of 30 years ago, an absolutely unforgettable evening at night in a beautiful garden. Many years ago, I was enjoying a purely platonic relationship at a young lady's summer place. She had a beautiful two-story home with an expansive garden leading down to a picturesque pond in the country. One day, a pest tore up her beautiful garden, causing significant damage. Working the better part of the day, I cleaned up what I could of the mess that had been created. Upon entering her home late that afternoon, my kind, dear friend could see that I was both tired and hungry. She asked me, "Why don't you go upstairs and take a shower? When you come down, there will be a fine dinner, wine, and an unforgettable evening with me, which will last until dawn." She then gently whispered in my ear, "I'll even shave my beaver just for you." Well, you can imagine how quickly I showered. What with a fine dinner, wine, and a promised unforgettable evening awaiting me, I particularly anticipated seeing her shave beaver. After we had dined and had our fill of an amusing Pinot 1970, she gently took my hand and led me back out into the garden, which I had cleaned up just a few scant hours before. She spread out a warm, soft blanket on the ground between two felled trees. "Before we begin," she asked, "would you like to see the beaver?" "Oh, my dearest friend, please show me gently," I begged. She then purposefully extended her index finger and with her right arm pointed to the middle of the pond. Her shaved beaver now lay floating, having died of hypothermia, in the cold waters of the pond. Her once playful beaver was no longer able to cause any more damage to the garden or trees. "Shall we begin?" she asked. "Oh, please, I don't want another second to pass," I excitedly explained. Her warm, soft hands now reached out and caressed the long, steel-hard instrument of my desire. She had one of the most beautiful telescopes I had ever seen. Until dawn, we observed the stars and planets. Truly, an unforgettable evening of gardening and astronomy.
Well, thank you, Robert. And if we are allowed to come back next week after that story, We look forward to having everybody to join us on week number 5. We may even increase the length of this webcast, one of our listeners is asking, but perhaps after tonight we'll be off the air. I don't know.
It increased the length of my webcast.
But thanks everybody for joining us. We'll see you next Saturday. And don't forget, any questions, you can also visit us at toptropicals.com. Send your questions to info@toptropicals.com, and we'll be sure to get you those answers before our next show.
And don't forget, here at Top Tropicals Radio, we are very good at algebra because we know how to solve for X.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.